In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we're going to be looking today at the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And it's very beautiful, and it's mostly on God's ways and not our ways, as we'll see. But we're going to look first at Verbum Domini. We're going to do paragraph 18, which will finish that section and get us ready. I'm sorry, paragraph 28. Get us ready for the next section, which is on the interpretation of sacred scripture in the church. All right. We may even start that this time. I'm not sure. This text, starting in paragraph 28, here I would like to mention Mary's familiarity with the Word of God. This is clearly evident in the Magnificat. That says something already about the level of literacy in Israel, doesn't it? Because she's a small town girl, way up in Nazareth. There was never even a road to Nazareth in her day. And yet she can read. That's zeal. She wants to read the text. So her familiarity is evident in the Magnificat. Now this could also be a treasure held by the early community and amplified following her example. We don't know that. It's just a mosaic of biblical texts echoing very carefully in places the Song of Anna from the Book of Samuel. And the theme of the Magnificat, which is not what we're going to be treating here, is the great reversal. Just as the same as, bless are the poor in spirit, you see, they are the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted. You see, it's the great reversal of God's thinking. So we see in some sense how she identifies with the Word, enters into it. In this marvelous canticle of faith, the Virgin sings the praises of the Lord in his own words, which is beautiful. And reminds us of that text of Augustine, you know, that the Lord says in the Psalms, I pray in you, you pray to me. You see, it's the same, it's both rhythms. So then there's a long quote here of Pope Benedict is quoting himself from the encyclical Deus Caritas. The Magnificat, a portrait, so to speak, of her soul. The word that comes to me a lot as I think of her, and especially the way she uses scripture, is tough. You know, she knows what suffering is, and she's getting ready for more, and she knows it. And yet she sees the way God works the great reversal. So it's a portrait of her soul. It's entirely woven from the threads of Holy Scripture, threads drawn from the Word of God. Here we see how completely at home Mary is with the Word of God. With ease, she moves in and out of it. She speaks and thinks with the Word of God. There are people still like this. Some of the old men of the book among the Jews, and some of the old monks. Back in ancient monasticism, the monks spent at least 3 hours a day pondering the sacred text. And that was called Lectio Divina. And they knew the text. If I remember correctly, St. Pachomius' monastery, you had to know the four Gospels and the Book of Psalms by heart before you could make your solemn vows, as it were. Because They didn't have a lot of books, and a lot of these men couldn't read. So they learned, just like the Muslims do now, somebody reciting a text, and they repeat it till they have it. Okay. She speaks and thinks with the Word of God. The Word of God becomes her word, and her word issues from the Word of God. Here we see how her thoughts are attuned to the thoughts of God, how her will is one with the will of God. Since Mary is completely imbued with the Word of God, she is able to become the mother of the Word incarnate. Now this is a theme. St. Ambrose says it. It seems perhaps that the first one who talked like this was St. Augustine in a sermon. Full of faith, she both conceived Christ first in her mind and then in her womb. And then Leo picks that up and says it in a little more pithy way. Prius concepit mente quam corpore. She first conceived the Word in her mind before she conceived Him in her body. That's for all of us. You see, if we conceive the Word, we won't give birth to the Christ the way she did, but we can give birth to the Christ in ourselves and in others by conceiving the Word. And that notion, of which Mary is the model, as these two fathers and other fathers point out, is this mysterious process by which the Word changes us, dwells in us in another place. Okay. Furthermore, in looking to the Mother of God, we see how God's activity in the world always engages our freedom. What does he mean by that? He says, because through faith, the divine word transforms us. That's what makes it so powerful. That's what shows its power. We're conformed to the word of God. Now just imagine how Jesus, the word of God, read himself in the scriptures. We have examples of the way he used the scriptures. Look at the temptations in the desert, where every time he was tempted, he responded from the book of Deuteronomy, which is the book of the desert. And I just mentioned the monks of St. Pachomius' monasteries, which were many out in the Egyptian desert, couldn't make their solemn vows until they knew the Psalms and the Gospels by heart. That's pretty beautiful, isn't it? So you see, they could meditate all day, whether they were at work or wherever they were. And that's what's referred to, as I've mentioned before, in Psalm 1. You know, blessed is the man who doesn't walk according to the counsel of the wicked, you know, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit, notice, follow, stand, sit, find that, in the chair of mockers. No, but he meditates on the Torah day and night. He murmurs, and the word, I think I told you this before, the word for meditate means murmur, hagah, like a little dove, always murmuring. Okay. Furthermore, in looking to the Mother of God, we see how God's activity in the world always engages our freedom through faith. The divine word transforms us. What is he saying then? What does it mean, this is translated in this English text, engages our freedom? What does that mean? It means it attracts it. You see? Augustine has this beautiful word he uses a lot, to attract. And the counterpart to attract is desire. If I'm attracted, I'm desirous. And so the key in understanding the word is to desire it. To desire it. To pray for that. So that the word becomes, it says in Jeremiah, remember, I took it and I ate it. I so much wanted it. I ate it. And then it was sweet to my mouth, but in my stomach it turned sour. Why? Because it was full of threats and accusations to God, accusing his people so that they change. All right. Our apostolic and pastoral work can never be effective, this is a strong line, unless we learn from Mary how to be shaped by the working of God within us. Huh? And then he quotes a beautiful few lines from the Propositio, the result of the Synod of Bishops as it was presented to him. Devout and loving attention to the figure of Mary as the model and archetype of the Church's faith is of capital importance for bringing about in our day a concrete paradigm shift in the Church's relation with the Word, both in prayerful listening and in generous commitment to mission and proclamation. It has to be alive in us. And she's a great model for that. I mean, so alive that she brought him right down into her body. She first conceived in her mind before she conceived in her body. If we conceive like that in our heart, then when we speak and when we preach, there's a fire, there's a force, there's a power, because it's the Word of God. This is so mysterious. I may, one of these days, talk more about that. I've mentioned some patristic texts which speak of the power of the Word. All right, the last paragraph in this, number 28. As we contemplate in the Mother of God a life totally shaped by the Word, we realize that we too are called to enter into the mystery of faith whereby Christ comes to dwell in our lives. And then he quotes St. Ambrose, same type of text that I've quoted from Augustine and Leo. Every Christian believer, St. Ambrose reminds us, in some way interiorly conceives and gives birth to the Word of God, even though there was only one Mother of Christ in the flesh. In the faith, Christ is the progeny of us all. Thus what took place for Mary can daily take place in each of us, in the hearing of the Word and in the celebration of the sacraments. That's very powerful. And it's the foundation for a very balanced, strong, if you will, Marian mysticism. Because we imitate Mary and take in the Word and treasure the Word. And the Word grows in us. And finally we give birth to this Word when we speak. There's a beautiful text, I think it's Hugh of St. Victor. I'm only thinking of it this minute, so I didn't look it up. Where Hugh of St. Victor says, every word we speak, I'm quoting freely, every word we speak is a share in the divine word. Imagine when they are really the expressions of the word which is inspired in the text. What happens, you see? And this is the secret of what it means to carry the Word in our heart and to memorize it like the old monks did. The problem is our minds are sort of mush. You know, they remembered better than we do. I think I mentioned this before. A friend of mine, a priest of the Melkite Rite, he's an archbishop now, said, I could go to any village up there on those mountains, there, up in those hills, small village, and I could tell a story. And 2 years later, I could come back, and the women of that village will give me back that story, word for word. So if they hear the Word of God, they don't have to learn how to read it. They've got it. All right, we'll move on.